السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد ابن أبي بكر. محمد ابن أبي بكر رحمه الله أبو عبد الله. The entirety of those who get busy with knowledge refer to him as Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim رحمه الله. Or they say Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyya رحمه الله. This Imam has authored this book الدَّاءُ وَالدَّوَاءُ as a response to a person who was plagued with the disease of sins, of iniquities. He had been shackled, he had been held down by the evil repercussions of his sins. It became clear to him that if he did not get out of the sin, and his life will be worse, and then he will meet Allah while Allah is angry with him. So he sought a way out of the inconvenience that he was in. He sought a way out of the diseases that had plagued him. He sought a way out of the discomfort that he was in. At the beginning of the book, the Imam began to give suggestions backed up in the Quran and the Sunnah on how to get out of such quagmires, problems, troubles. When someone gets into the net of sins, how does he get out of them? The first thing Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim suggested, rahimahullah, was qira'atul Quran, tilawatul Quran, ar-ruqya bil Quran, reading the Quran and seeking cure by means of reading the Quran to the person who was ill. For that person who is in the trouble of sin and iniquities, ikhwa, read the Quran. Allah makes the Quran as a means of cure for the diseases of the heart and the diseases of the limbs. Read the Quran. The second medication that Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim gave, rahimahullah, was the medication of dua. He was very, very extensive about how Allah employs the dua of his servant as a means to cure his disease, whether that disease is from the disease of the limbs, like headache, like all other diseases we have that are connected to our limbs, or that disease is a disease that is connected to the human soul, diseases that are connected to the arwah, to the anfus of human beings. Ibn al-Qayyim was very extensive. He taught us how to make very potent du'as. He taught us those things that will make your du'a to become ineffective and impotent. You'll be making du'a, but it will be clear that you are almost not getting results. Why? Ibn al-Qayyim explored it, rahimahullah. He even also taught those things we need to do to be sure that the dua is potent within Allah, and he taught us the expressions of dua that are from the most potent expressions, things that when you say it, Allah answers your dua. And I think for many of us, including myself, bismillah, it has been a major means of change in our approach to dua and other aspects of life. The third thing Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah gave as a solution to come out of the troubles, the inconvenience, the diseases of the heart, and the diseases of the limbs, he mentioned good deeds, doing good deeds. When you are kind, you gain kindness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are obedient to Allah, from the things Allah does for you is that he cleanses your sins subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you have a mind that is calm. You have a mind that is tranquil, even if you don't have money on your hands. Even if you don't live in a luxury home, you find a sakina. Why? Because you are upon Ta'atul Rahman. You are upon At-Taqarrubu Ilayhi. You are upon Al-Ihsan Ila Khalkihi. You are upon obedience to him. You are upon seeking nearness to him. You are upon being kind to the creatures. That one brought us to that basic rule that if you want goodness from the Qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he grants you goodness when you are good. He grants you kindness when you are kind. He grants you ease. Everything that you do, it has a result. So similarly, when the people are wicked, when they are aggressive, they get the results for their actions. One verse, and Ibn al-Qayyim told us, rahimahullah, giving a lot of verses in the Quran, rahimahullah, he even clearly expressed that this basic rule of getting just what you do, tartibul jazai, al-a'mal, the rewards that you gain for your actions depend on the actions that you give. He says, rahimahullah, wa hadha fil Quran yazidu ala alfi mawdhi'in. This one occurs in the Quran in more than 1,000 places. And since the time we studied this, each time I personally read the Quran, I find this occurring many places, ikhwa. Tarattubul jaza, the jaza, the rewards for your actions. They are dependent on your deeds. If you follow the means, you get to the end. If you follow the conditions, you get the result. If you bring the cause, you get the effect. One such verse or group of verses occur in Surah Al-Layl. Allah said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. These are the beginning of that surah. Then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. He said, وَأَمَّا, as for those who a'ta, they give charity, they provide help, wattaqa, while they did that, they are upon ikhlas and they are upon attaqwa. These are their deeds. Wasaddaqa bil husna, while doing that, while helping, while supporting, while providing, with sincerity and ikhlas, saddaku bil husna, they are certain to receive their rewards inside Al Jannah. The ultimate purpose for their deeds is that they desire Al Jannah. That is their goal. But the deeds were upon charity, a'ta, al-i'ta'u, They provided help. They granted support. They gave sadaqat, what taqa. They were upon ikhlas. Allah said, Fasanu yassiruhu lil yusra. We will make him find ease upon goodness. So you see, everything has a result. If you do this, I will get you this. The same thing, wa amma man bakhila wastagna wa kadhaba bil husna fasanu yassiruhu lil usra. You see the results that consequence upon the actions that people bring. When you do a deed, you have a result. Now these results, these goals, these objectives, the objectives of being very righteous person, the objectives of abandoning sins, the objective of curing the diseases of the heart, or the objectives of even curing bodily diseases, these objectives, we cannot achieve them except we understand two things. You cannot achieve your goals until you take note of two things. Ikhwa, the first one is, like he said, rahimahullah, an ya'rifa tafasil asbab al-shar wal-khair. You must understand the details of the road to righteousness and the details of the road to Jahannam. If you understand the details of the road to righteousness, you can simply follow it. It will be easy. Oh, I want to be a righteous servant of Allah. I want to solve the diseases of the heart that I have. The individual is suffering from hasad. He is suffering from rayinul qalb. He has been upon sin and his heart is dark. He wants to find a way out. The first way after determining this goal, lofty, noble goal of esteem, you must know tafasil, the details. How do I achieve that goal? The second thing, and he taught us the means of knowing how to achieve the goals. How do I know how to know the details? He taught us. You want to achieve a goal. This is the ultimate letter. The sentence is that I want to become a righteous servant of Allah upon good deeds. I want to perform particular good deeds so that I can get out of the trouble that I am in. This is the goal. If this is the goal, the first step towards achieving that goal is ma'rifatu tafasili asbabil khair. That khair that you want. What are the details? How do I get there? Because you cannot get there if you don't know the road there. You know the details that leads you there. You know the things that when you do them, you get there. He went forward, rahimahullah. He taught us, how do you now know those things that will get you there? You need to know what will get you to your goals. How do you know them? He gave us about five things which we studied in the last class. The second means of achieving our goals, he told us, rahimahullah, that after understanding the details of how to achieve your goals, he said, rahimahullah, an yahdharu al-abdu mughalatata nafsihi lahu ala hadhihi al-asbab. An yahdharu al-abd, the servant should avoid a situation. What situation is that? Mughalatata nafsihi lahu ala hadhihi al-asbab. Ah, you have now understood the details of how to achieve your goals. You must avoid that your soul, yughaliqtuka, your soul deceives you. It puts you away from being able to pursue that goal. You know the details already. I need to become a righteous person. How do I do that? I need to read the Quran regularly. I need to study the Quran regularly. I need to observe خمس صلوات regularly in the masajid and in jama'ah. And I need to abstain from sins. Because as we mentioned in one of the classes, sometimes people fetch water in drums that have leakages. And the leakages may be so serious that just as you fetch a bucket, before you come with the second bucket of water, the entirety of the first bucket of water in that drum had leaked away. You see, this is a big problem for that individual. He fetches the first bucket of water in the drum, performing good deeds, doing sadaqat, helping the people, observing khams salawat, making tilawat al-Quran, regularly making adhkar and dua, but he was not keeping away from sins. So you find that he pours the first bucket of water of good deeds. He goes to fetch more good deeds. By the time he returned, his sinfulness from the leakages of the drum had emptied the drum. So how will he be able to drink water? How will he be able to save water for future use? So if you want, from the things we need to understand about the details of goodness and achieving goodness, is that the leakages must be blocked. This one will lead us to the second thing the Imam mentioned. After understanding these details, don't allow your mind to deceive you. Don't get into self-deception. How? He said, Rahimahullah, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَهَمِّ الْأُمُورِ. These are from the very most important of the things an individual must understand. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ يَعْرِفُ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ وَالْغَفْلَةَ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُدِّرَّةِ لَهُ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتِهِ وَلَا بُدِّ. An individual يَعْرِفُ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ من الأسباب المضرة له. The individual would understand that yes, this sinfulness will destroy me. Zina will destroy the person upon zina. He knows. Telling the lies will destroy him. He knows. He said, من الأسباب المضرة له في دنياه وآخرته. He knows that these sinfulness, these deeds, they are from the things that are harmful to him. For those of us who employ the copies on the screen, it occurs on page 36. An individual may know that, page 36, 36, the individual may know and understand that these sins will cause harm to him in the matters of his dunya. They will affect his physical health, and they will affect the calmness and the tranquility of his mind and his qalb. Walabud, he is extremely certain about it. Walakin, tughalituhu nafsuhu, but his mind begins to deceive him. His mind begins to tell him, suggest to him, ala afwillahi wa karamihi wa maghfiratihi taratan. So sometimes the mind begins to tell him, ala afwillah, Allah will always overlook, wa karamihi, oh, Allah is very beneficent, wa maghfiratihi, oh, Allah is very, very forgiving, Allah is not so tough. يَتَّكِلُ عَلَىٰ عَفْوِ اللَّهِ. His minds begin to suggest to him. He knew that the sin will destroy him. He knew that the sin will blacken and darken his heart. It will bring him رَيْنُ الْقَلْبِ, the dark heart that results from sinfulness. Allah said, قَلَّا بَلْ, ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. That deed he's doing will bring rain al-qalb to him. Your heart will become dark. You will call upon Allah, he will not answer you. You will find good deeds difficult to make. You will find salat difficult to make. The man understands after the steps that we had explained earlier. He knows for certain that labud anna al-ma'siyata wal-ghaflata al-ma'siya sinfulness wal-ghafla and negligence regarding his deen min al-asbabi al-mudhirati lahu fi dunyahu wa akhirati. They are from the things that will bring harm to his affairs in this dunya and akhirah. He is already aware. The woman knows that her attitude to her husband will be destructive to her in her dunya and akhirah. She knows. She knows that speaking to her husband with disrespect will destroy her. She knows. She knows that contesting control in the house with her husband is destructive. She knows. She knows that the individual knows, male or female, that spending long hours, useful hours, wasting them on the social media will be destructive. She knows, he knows. But tughalituhu nafsuhu, his mind begins to deceive him. Ala afwillah, that Allah overlooks. Wa karamihi, Allah is beneficent. Wa maghfiratihi, Allah forgives. Wa بالتصويف بالتوبة تارة أخرى. بالتصويف, he begins to say, oh, I will repent tomorrow. I will repent tomorrow. Today he was watching pornography. Yesterday she was on it. They are busy with films. They are busy with videos. They are busy with things. They know that these things are destructive. So the soul begins to tell them, don't worry, after this episode, I will not watch another episode. It is a deceit from your soul. وَبِالِاسْتِغْفَارِ بِاللِّسَانِ تَارَةً. Sometimes the soul tells it, don't worry. Once you say astaghfirullah, it has gone. So he watches the film, evil. He begins to handshake with women, evil. He knows that these things are bad. لكن تغالطه نفسه, his soul begins to deceive him. على أفو الله, that Allah is pardoning. وكرمه, Allah is beneficial, beneficent, he will grant you ease. ومغفرته, Allah forgives. وبالتصويف بالتوبة تارة. At another time, the soul begins to tell it, tell that individual, at taswif, don't worry, we can make tawbah, sawfa atub, I will make tawbah gadan, tomorrow. Wabil istighfari billisani tarata. Sometimes the soul also tells this individual, don't worry, let me insult him. Is it not to just make istighfar? Wabifailil mandubati tarata. The man begins to do things that are unlawful, hiding away from his family, telling lies, making zina, abandoning tilawa, abandoning all these good deeds, not being regular in salat. Some people gamble in secret, and their thinking is that, يَفْعَلُ الْمَنْدُوبَاتِ, I will make salat with tasbih. Oh, I will make qiyamul layl. Some women are so discordant to their husbands. They will begin to think that I will fast Monday and Thursday. It will take away all the sins. So he thinks that once he does these things, both the sins and the repercussions of the sins have gone. Wabil ilmi taratan. Sometimes the man is an ustav. He teaches in a tahfiz. He gives lectures, reads books, studies. He begins to become deceived. by his contributions to knowledge and its spread. That, oh, I have all these good deeds, Allah will forgive me. These were the things that got him into sin, when these are the very things that should make him abstain from sin. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَعْرِفُ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ وَالْغَفْلَةَ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُضِرَّةِ لَهُ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتِهِ. The individual can know that sinfulness will destroy his dunya, will destroy his akhirah. He knows. وَلَكِنْ تُغَالِتُهُ نَفْسُهُ. But his mind begins to deceive him. بِالْإِتِّكَالِ. It tells him to rely on Afwillah, Allah's pardoning, wa karamihi, wa maghfiratihi, wa bittaswifi bittawba, wa bilistighfari billisan, wa bifi'lil mandubat, wa bil'ilm. These are the things he looks at and feels comfortable upon sin, instead of looking at these things and being the means to make him run away from sins. He said, rahimahullah, وَبِالِحْتِجَاجِ بِالْقَدَرِ تَارَةً وَبِالِحْتِجَاجِ بِالْقَدَرِ تَارَةً. Sometimes the reason he commits a sin, say, oh, it was Qadr, it was already preordained. That was why you got into sin. He forgot that Allah also preordained that we must abstain from sins. It is from his preordainment in his Sharia. Don't come near sins. And that he has also preordained that when you come near some sins, some other sins will follow. If you come near some sins will follow. If you come near some sins, some other sins worse than that will follow. So he begins to say, oh, Allah had preordained it. He forgot that it was his own choice. May Allah protect us. وبالاحتجاج بالأشباه والنظراء والاقتداء بالأكابر تارة. Sometimes he begins to find things that are similar to make deductions from them. والاقتداء بالأكابر, saying that, oh, I did that because our parents used to do it, our father used to do it, our mother used to do it. That was why we are doing it. People do these things knowing that they are sins. Allah does not like them. They continue upon it because of the deceit they have from their souls. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ لَوْ فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ. He said, many of the people think that, كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, many amongst the people, يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ لَوْ فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ. They think that when they commit the sin that they commit, ثُمَّ قَال, and then he says, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ, زَالَ أَنْهُ أَثَرُ الذَّنْبِ. Once he says, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ, Zala anhu atharu zamb. The evil impact or repercussion of the sin just goes away like that. Wa roha hadha bihadha. And then that evil repercussions just becomes erased like that, just because he said astaghfirullah. Just like that. People think that is how things go. But that is a very big mistake. He said, rahimahullah, وَقَالَ لِي أَرَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَى الْفِقْهِ. Once one man who ascribes to fiqh, the knowledge of Islamic jurisprudence, the knowledge of the sciences of fiqh, he ascribes to it, he gets busy with it. Once this man said to me, أَنَا أَفْعَلُ مَا أَفْعَلُ. I do what I do. I commit the sins that I want to commit. I trespass, the man said he would trespass the iniquities of Allah. Thumma akul. Then he would say, سبحان الله وبحمده 100 مرة. سبحان الله وبحمده، سبحان الله وبحمده، سبحان الله وبحمده، سبحان الله وبحمده، وقد غفر لي ذلك أجمع. Once I say that, all those sins that I have committed would have been forgiven for me. كما صح ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال. As it is authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he said, Man qala fi yawmin, anyone who says on a single day, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 marra, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah, Allah, You are far above any imperfections and inconsistencies, any errors. Allah is far away from it. That is the meaning of Subhanallah. Wa bihamdi, and all praises belong to you. Mi'ata marra. Anyone who says Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من قال في يوم سبحان الله وبحمده 100 مرة. Anyone who says سبحان الله وبحمده 100 times, حطت عنه حطاياه, all his sins will be removed from him. All his sins will be brought down away from him. ولو كانت مثل زبد البحر, even if those sins are like the foam on the oceans. You know the foams, how water foams on the ocean? Even if the sins are as much as that in terms of their size and muchness, once you say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, in some reports it says, Hina yumsi wa hina yusbih, when the individual gets to the evening, or when he wakes up in the morning, he says, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Huttat anhu hatayahu, the entirety of his sins will be dropped off him. Walau kanat mithla zabadil bahri, even if those sins may be as much as the foam of an ocean, they will be removed from the individual. This person is saying this. Ana af'alu ma af'alu. I can commit the sin that I like. He commits a sin and he thinks, oh, let me just go and say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, 100 times, and all those sins will go away. Ikhwa, we are talking about those reasons how people become deceived, such that they are unable to achieve righteousness. The man is upon zina, the man is upon riba, the man tells lies, he usurps people's wealth, he gets involved in things that Allah has prohibited, he gets involved in uqukul walidain, he disrespects his parents, he disrespects his relatives and elders, but he begins to say, oh, those sins, once I say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, they will go away. The reason for that is that tughalituhu nafsuhu, his mind deceives him and he becomes unable to achieve righteousness. The same thing, the woman who is abusive to her husband, very coarse and herself toxic, she becomes very abusive, thinking that, oh, like Ibn al-Qayyim says, rahimahullah, once I observe Qiyamul Layl, once I stay long in Qiyamul Layl saying istighfar, Allah will forgive me. She wakes up the next morning and becomes like that again. She wakes up the next morning, she becomes like that again. This is the situation of a person who fetches a bucket of water inside a drum that leaks off that bucket of water. Just as soon as you fetch that bucket of water in the drum, it becomes leaked off as a wastage. Ibn Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, something similar to that was when I met someone who ascribes to the fiqh, a knowledge of fiqh, and then he would say, Ana af'aluma af'a, I will do, he can commit anything. Things like this happen amongst the politicians in our society today. They think that once they commit all the evils they commit during their politicking, all that it remains for them to say is just subhanallah wa bihamdi. For those of them who are even conscious, how about those of them who are nonchalant? So they get more engrossed in the sin, and then they become covered up inside the evil repercussions of their sins. Ibn al-Qayyim continued, he said, وَقَالَ لِي آخَرُ مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ Someone, another person from the people of Mecca, who resides in Mecca, said to me that, نَحْنُ أَحَدُنَا إِذَا فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ We, the people of Mecca, some of us, or one, any one of us, إِذَا فَعَلَ مَا فَعَلَ When he does whatever he does, when he commits whatever iniquities he commits, اِغْتَسَلَ وَطَوْفَ بِالْبَيْتِ أُسْبُوعًا He goes to make a ghusl, and he comes to make tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times. وَقَدْ مُحِيَ عَنْهُ ذَلِكِ All those sins that he had committed would have been forgiven him. So you can understand why some people become so sinful, thinking that once they make ghusl, they go around the Kaaba, just go around the Kaaba, making istighfar or any other adhkar. By that, their sins have gone away. And then they return to the sin again. After committing the sin, they go around the Kaaba, thinking that that is all and over. These kinds of deceit from their souls will not make them achieve the goal of righteousness. This is the point. The mind deceives them. So it makes them become nonchalant, really, really, to achieve the goals of righteousness that they had set for themselves. He said, Rahimahullah, وَقَدْ قَالَ لِي آخَرٌ Another person had told me one time, that قد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال It is authentically reported from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم that he said, the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم that أذنب عبد ذنبا A servant committed a sin. فقال That servant began to say after committing that sin, أي ربي O my Lord, asabtu dhanban, I have committed a sin. Faghfirhu li, so forgive me, forgive that sin for me. That sin that I have committed, forgive it in my case. Faghafarallahu lahu dhanbahu. When he asked for forgiveness from Allah, ghafarallahu lahu dhanbahu. Allah thereupon forgave that sin that he had committed. ثُمَّ مَكَثَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَمْكُثُ Then he remained for as long as Allah desired that he should remain. ثُمَّ أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا آخَرُ Then he committed another sin. فَقَالَ And then he said again, أَيْ رَبِّي يَا رَبِّ O my Lord, أَصَبْتُ ذَنْبًا فَغْفِرْهُ لِي I have committed a sin. Forgive that sin for me. فَغَفَرَهُ لَهُ So Allah forgave that sin for him. ثُمَّ مَكَثَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ Then he remained again. ثُمَّ أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا آخَرَ He committed another sin again. فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي The individual said, Oh, Ya Rabbi, Oh, my Lord, أَيْ رَبِّي أَصَبْتُ ذَنْبًا I have committed a sin. فَغْفِرْهُ لِي So forgive me. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Allah, the exalted and the sublime, then said, عَلِمَ عَبْدِي أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبِ وَيَأْخُذُ بِهِ عَلِمَ عَبْدِي this my servant is well aware anna lahu rabban, that he has a Lord, yaghfiru dhanb, who forgives sins, wa ya'khudhu bihi, who also punishes for those who commit the sins. Qad ghafartu li 'abdi, for understanding, for knowing fully well that I am a Lord, aghfiru dhanb, I forgive sins, wa a'khudhu bihi, and sometimes I can punish. Being afraid of my punishment, you began to ask me for forgiveness. Qad ghafartu li 'abdi, therefore I have forgiven you. Qala fi thalithati aw ar-rabi'a, at the third or the fourth time, Allah then said, falyasna' ma sha'a, so let my servant do whatever he likes, as long as when he does it, he asks for forgiveness for me. Ibn al-Qayyim said, somebody had quoted this hadith to me and then said that, wa ana la ashukku anna li rabban yaghfiru dhanb wa ya'khudhu bihi. I'm talking to you. I know that Allah is a Lord, yaghfiru dhanb. If I commit a sin, he will forgive me. Wa ya'khudhu bihi, yes, he can punish. So before he punishes me, I quickly ask for forgiveness. This is the reason why they find ease upon sin. When they find ease now upon sin, because of this deceit by their soul, making them think that, don't worry, commit the sin, ask for forgiveness from Allah. Many of our jalabis are like this. They are under this deceit by their soul. Tughalituhum anfusuhum, their minds deceive them, so they are hardly able to remain upon righteousness. They say they will commit the sins, they will commit the iniquities. Allah is not so difficult, he will forgive us. So they go on. The reason why they should go away from the sins is the reason that puts them into the sin, because of the deceit from their soul. So they are hardly righteous. They will do it again. They go and do it again, they do it again, deliberately. They forget that repentance and acceptance of repentance, at tawbah, it has conditions, it has shurut. At tawbah has shurut. The first shurut of at tawbah is al-iqla'u an dhanb, stopping to commit that sin. So if you are a person who is only making tawbah, you are saying, Allah, forgive me for a criminal act you just performed. You are only saying that because you want to go back to it. You are not saying that because you want to stop it. The second condition of tawbah is that you have an nadam ala ma hasala minhu. He regrets what he has done. That person going around the Kaaba to ask for forgiveness from Allah for a criminal act that he had committed, while knowing that once he returns, he's going back again, as if he fulfilled the condition for tawbah. You are going to the Kaaba to make tawaf. Like Ibn al-Qayyim said about that person who resides in Makkah, who said that, nahnu ahaduna idha fa'ala ma fa'ala igtasala wa tawfa bil bayt usbu'an. We were a resident of Makkah. When we commit something, we just go and have our bath and go around the Kaaba. Once we go around the Kaaba, it's waqad muhiya an huzali, that's over, as if the records of these things are with them. How does this become genuine tawbah? How does this become genuine istighfar? Asking for pardon from Allah, where you already certain that you are going back to the sin again. It is not as if the individual was overpowered by his weak soul. No. He's just doing it, give that one to Allah, I'll go back again. This is what Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah. It is from the aspects of their soul deceiving them. They know the details of how to achieve righteousness. But their soul deceives them with these things away from the path of righteousness. Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, wa hadha ad-darbu minan nas, this group of people amongst the human beings, fi hadha al-bab, he said, wa hadha ad-darbu minan nas, this group of people amongst the human beings, qad ta'allaqa bi nusus ar-raja, they have connected themselves with the texts of hope, the texts that give hope to a sinful person. When someone becomes very sinful, he has recognized his sinfulness. You want to encourage him, come out, Allah will forgive you. This sinful person, these are the texts that he is depending on. Watakala alayha, he relaxes on them. Wata'allaqa biha, bikilata yadayhi, he hangs on them with his two hands. وَإِذَا عُوتِبَ عَلَى الْخَطَايَا, when he is cautioned and blamed for his sins. وَلِنْهِمَاكِ فِيهَا, and for his getting depth into the depths in himak. Someone falls into something and destroys the limits of Allah. سَرَدَ لَكَ مَا يَحْفَظُهُ, he begins to explain, present to you those texts that he has memorized, min sa'ati rahmatillah, that show that Allah, his mercy and compassion is vast, wa afwihi, his pardon is vast, wa maghfiratihi, his forgiving is vast, wa nusus ar-raja, and other texts that gives hope. There are texts that when the individual, like Allah told us in the Quran, that la taqnatu min rahmatillah, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, O my servants who have gone to far-reaching extremes regarding iniquities against their souls, la taqnatu min rahmatillah, do not become lost in any hope regarding the mercy of Allah. La taqnatu, don't lose hope that Allah is merciful. We say this when the individual feels bad. He feels, what I have done, will Allah forgive me? You want to assure him that Allah is forgiving. But unfortunately, Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, these people who commit sin, it is this vast rahmah of Allah that they depend on to now commit sin. The verses that we should be citing, the ahadith that we should be citing for the one who commits a sin, come out of the sin. Allah will forgive you if you come out. Come out, make tawbah. For him, this is what he depends on to commit the sin. You can see the opposites. These nusus ar-raja, the text of hope, for the one who is engrossed in sin, is to encourage the sinful person to come out of sins. Unfortunately, those who get engrossed in sin quote them to get into sin in the opposite direction of what the text should provide them as support out of sin. They employ those same texts as a support to get into sin. He said, Rahimahullah, wa hadha ad-darbu minan nas, this group of people, qad ta'allaqa bi nusus ar-raja, they now got themselves attached to the text that brings hope to the sinful person. Wa takala alayha, he completely depends on them. Wa ta'allaqa biha bi kilata yadayhi, he hangs on these texts with his two hands. وَإِذَا عُوتِبَ عَلَى الْخَطَايَا وَلِنْهِمَا كِفِيهَا, when he is cautioned and blamed about sins, and he's destroying the veils of sin, سَرَدَ لَكَ مَا يَحْفَظُهُ, he begins to read to you those ahadith that he has memorized, من سعة رحمة الله regarding the vast mercy of Allah وعفوه, the vast pardon of Allah ومغفرته, the vast forgiveness that Allah gives to his servants ونصوص الرجاء, and other texts of hope that are supposed to bring hope to a sinful person who wants to emerge from sins. For them, those are the texts that they read to continue upon sin. So if you find an Afa Jalabi praying badly, they say, oh brother, you are praying badly. Say, hey, don't disturb me. Allah is merciful. Allah is merciful is the reason to pray badly. When you see them relating with women indecently, say, fear Allah. They say, hey, don't disturb us. Allah is merciful. Allah's mercy is the reason to continue upon disobedience to him. This is the deceit of the soul to those who already know the road to righteousness, but they are still unable to become righteous. Why? Their souls deceive them. Their minds tell them, don't worry, Allah is merciful, Allah pardons, Allah is forgiving. يَسْرُدُ لَكَ مَا يَحْفَظُهُ. He begins to present to you those texts that he had memorized مِنْ سَعَةِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ regarding the vast mercy and compassion of Allah وَأَفْوِهِ, the fact that Allah pardons, and he does that a lot, وَمَغْفِرَتِهِ, the fact that Allah forgives. Those are the reasons he presents for continuing upon sin. He said, Rahimahullah, وَلِلْجُهَالِ مِنْ هَذَا الضَّرْبِ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The very, very ignorant ones amongst these groups of people. فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ, regarding matters like this, غَرَائِبٌ وَعَجَائِبٌ. Very strange, and disturbing narrations. Very ignorant people. They begin to cite the mercy of Allah as the reason for continuing upon sin. Just like the statement of some of them who say, وَكَثِّرْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا. وَكَثِّرْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنَ الْخَطَايَا. إذا كان القدوم على كريمي وكثر ما استطعت من الخطايا. إذا كان القدوم على كريمي كثر ما استطعت من الخطايا. Commit as many sins as you can commit. These are common with those people upon Sufiya, whether the learned ones amongst them or like Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, الجهال من هذا الضرب من الناس, the very ardently ignorant ones amongst these groups of people. You find these people of Sufia, they audaciously commit sins, they commit zina, they tell lies, they take souls, they continue on jalabi of various forms, shirk, they deceive the people. They make 419s. Subhanallah. They drink alcohol. And then they come back to say, إِذَا كَانَ الْكُدُومُ عَلَى كَرِيمٍ. That's Allah we are going to make is Karim. It's very honorable and benevolent. Don't worry, he will forgive us. Allah will forgive them. For them is the license to criminality. Allah is merciful. For them is the license to indecency. Allah's mercy is vast. For them is the license to iniquity. Ikhwa, this is from the deception of their souls to them, because these texts should make them emerge and come out of sins. Unfortunately, they cite these things as the very reasons why they should commit more sins. وَقَوْلِ الْآخَرِ. You'll also find statements from others amongst them that أَتَّنَزُّهُ مِنَ الظُّنُوبِ جَهَلٌ بِسَعَةِ أَفْوِ اللَّهِ. They say that atanazzuhu min adh-dhunub, avoiding and keeping away from sins, jahlun, is a form of ignorance, bisa'ati afwillah, regarding the vastness of Allah's pardoning. When Allah wants to pardon you, you are running away from sins. It's because you are ignorant. They say things like this. Allah is vast in his afw, in his pardoning. So commit the sin, he will pardon you. Be decent, he will pardon you. Ikhwa, this is from the deceit of their souls against them and from the aspects of utter ignorance regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These texts are the texts of hope for those who are upon sins to abandon sins, making them understand that Allah will forgive them once they make tawbah. These texts are not the text to say Allah is compassionate, so the individual should continue upon sinfulness and iniquities. Another one can say that tarku dhunubi jara'atun ala maghfiratillahi ta'ala wastisgharun laha. Another ignorant person amongst these alufas, and their kinds are many now, they say that tarku dhunub, abstinence from sins, jara'atun ala maghfiratillahi ta'ala, is an audaciousness. You are directly, audaciously coming in front of the maghfirah of Allah. Why are you avoiding sins when Allah has maghfirah for you? What's this garun laha? Are you looking small? Are you demeaning the vastness of Allah's maghfirah? Do you think it is small? Allah's maghfirah is vast. So don't behave like, commit the sin. These texts are the texts of hope. They give hope to the person who is sinful to come out of sin. These sinful, ignorant people employ these same texts to deliberately continue upon indecency. So how can they achieve righteousness? How can they achieve al-Jannah? How can they achieve the good deeds by which they will earn other good deeds and good rewards from Allah? How can they be like the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Because these people think about these verses, these ahadiths, to avoid sins. But unfortunately, these malams that we have today, these ustaz, they become deceived. These sheus, these are far jalabis, these are far sufis, sheu. They cite all of these things as the reasons for committing sins. But the unfortunate thing is that some of the younger brothers and even the older ones too, who get busy with the sunnah, they are deceived by these texts. And then they commit a lot of sins. I know people, I have cases on my hands. Some ustaz were criminal. And when they were spoken to, these were the things they were saying. That at-tanazzuhu min adh-dhunub jahlun bisahati afwil, Allah's afu is much. If you say you are abstaining from sin, it is because you are ignorant about the vastness of Allah's pardoning. If you say you are abstaining from sins, it is because you don't know that Allah's forgiving a servant is much. Are you think that it's a small thing that Allah has a lot of forgiveness for us? Ibn al-Qayyim continued, rahimahullah. He said, وَقَالَ أَبُو مُحَمَّدٍ إِبْنُ حَزْمٍ الْإِمَامُ أَبُو مُحَمَّدٍ إِبْنُ حَزْمٍ الْأَنْدَلُوسِي was from the scholars of Andalusia in the 5th century of Islam. He said, رَأَيْتُ بَعْضَ هَؤُلَاءِ يَقُولُ فِي دُهَائِهِ. I even saw some of these people we are talking about. He was making dua and he was saying, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العصمة اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العصمة. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. Don't make me a person who does not commit sins. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. Don't make me a person who does not commit sins. What does that mean? Allah should make you a person who commits sins. Allah should make you a criminal. This is the extent to which the souls of these people deceive them. This is the extent to which the people reached in terms of ignorance. So all these will prevent them the ability to follow the path of righteousness that leads to Al-Jannah. It will be difficult for them to follow the path of righteousness that will liberate them from the sins, from the inconveniences that they are in, from the diseases. How can someone who is upon this think that his deeds will cure his sickness? Someone who is fully in sins and sees committing sins as an act of worship. How does that bring him out of inconveniences? How does that bring him out of wahala? How does that bring him out of trouble? How does that grant him sakina? How does that grant him tranquility? How does that bring him esteem? How does that bring him genuine honor? So when you look at them, you see that these people are criminals. Because they even, rather than abstain from sins and indecency, they get engrossed in evil, and then they justify the evil with the same text that should put them away from evil. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned 18 things they say. From these 18, we have studied 6 of them. Bismillah, we come to point number 7. We can have individuals too. You are not a Sufi. In fact, you may be a Salafi upon the Sunnah. And yet, when you commit sins, your mind still give you these kinds of calmness that is temporary and destructive, telling you that don't worry, Allah will forgive you. Then you go back to the sin again. This is occurring with many men and women. They commit sins. Their minds assure them they go back to the sin again. Their minds assure them they go back to the sin again. They are not able to abandon sins and follow the path of righteousness. And they are contradicting that basic rule. How can you commit sins? Those are your deeds. That is the means you are following, and think that it will bring you to an end of goodness. No. If it is sins, it will not bring you goodness. If it is sins, it will not bring you upon the path of righteousness. If it is sins, it will not bring you upon the path of Al-Jannah. If it is sins, you cannot use that to cure your diseases, whether the diseases of the limbs or the diseases of the heart. No, it's not possible. Because the path of righteousness leads to righteousness. The path of goodness leads to goodness. The path of kindness leads to kindness. How can you be upon the path of sin and iniquity, and then you expect to arrive at the destination of righteousness and goodness? I hope that this point is clear. It will go a long way to make each and every one of us reassess his minds. How do you handle your mistakes, your shortcomings of sins? If you handle them assuring yourself, shaitan is deceiving you, and ignorance too makes you think that, oh, Allah said, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, anyone who says subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times, all his sins are forgiven. So you say it every morning 100 times, and as you stand up from the mat, you go to commit sins. You are on Yahoo Yahoo of various forms. You are disobedient to your husband. You are harsh and coarse against him. And then you go back to Qiyamul Layl. I will beg Allah for forgiveness in the Qiyamul Layl. Just understand that your problem is ignorance. and deception from your soul. Yes, you understand that with Qiyamul Layl, your sins can be forgiven. But here it has become a means of deceit for you. Instead of employing Qiyamul Layl as a means to get forgiveness, you are rather employing Qiyamul Layl as a basis to commit sins. I hope that this point is clear. Other misconceptions and talks of ignorance that they give, we have mentioned 6 out of 18. Ibn al-Qayyim explores it very well. But if your mind is telling you any one of these things, you quickly know that this is from the deceit, from my mind, to prevent me from achieving my goals as far as righteous deeds is concerned. May Allah protect each and every one of us from the deceptions of the soul and from the deceptions of Shaitan. Abu Abdurrahman.
Salaatu alaykum ya Shaitan.
Ameen wa iyaakum.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh ya Shaitan. These sins we are talking about in this class, is it talking about major sins,
Kabair, or only minor sins? What does a separation between Kabair and Sogair, what does it consequence upon when an individual is upon sinfulness? You shake the hands of a woman, and then it will bring you a destructive sin. If we say no, it's about Kabair. If we say no, it's about Sogair. What does it bring? Sin is sin here. And every sin has its evil repercussion. So what? I don't know what the questioner wants to bring from this question regarding this class specifically. Keep away from sins and don't allow your mind to deceive you into sins. Don't allow the text of hope to make you become someone who stands upon them to commit sins. Whether sin is kabair or sogair is unimportant here. So there is no benefit trying to distinguish between the two here.
That's not really good.
Amin wa iyyakum. Abu Abdurrahman.
No, my shaykh. Trying to check the questions. And this one, what about the hadith that said, if we don't commit sin, they will remove us from this path?
The mindset behind this question is what Ibn al-Qayyim is addressing. Does the hadith now say people should go on to commit sins? Is that the meaning of the hadith? Or that it means that those who are upon sins should know that one of the things that happens on the earth is committing sins, and that they should race towards Tawbah. That hadith, when people don't commit the sins, people will go out of the surface of the earth. Is that evidence for committing sins? Is that evidence for being indecent? Is that evidence for zina? Is there evidence for abandoning salah and getting busy on the phone? Is there evidence for being disobedient to your husband? Is there evidence for being cruel against your wives and children? Or that is evidence that you should leave sin and not get involved in sin after knowing the evil repercussions of sin? Is this clear, Abu Abdurrahman?
Naam ya Sheikh Hassan Layli.
Amin wa iyakum. Can we call it a day?
Naam ya Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.